Real estate may be all about location, but Skip Heitzig says that what really matters isn't our location here on Earth, but our destination at the end of the road.
I have discovered that there is no geography in this earth that matters any wise to the will of God. It doesn't matter if you live here or there or there, because you are passing through. You are going toward a heavenly city, and the best deal isn't what you find down here. I got the best deal. The best deal is what's up ahead.
Make the connection at the foot of the cross. Study the Word of God and find the way into His love. And take the time to read, for Jesus took the time.
In the emperor's new clothes, the emperor was so concerned about making sure he had the very best that he was blinded to the fact that he was being swindled. As a result, he ended up parading himself through public completely naked, which isn't exactly dignified. However, I think all of us could probably admit to being blinded to the obvious by strong desires. And today in The Connection, Skip Heitzig continues with our in-depth examination of two lives, one that was lured by what the world had to offer, and one that believed and relied on God for the very best. We'll get to that study here in just a moment, but first, here's a letter we recently received from Jody, and she says,
I have the opportunity to listen to The Connection on 890 Radio when I travel to work in the morning. I have lost count how many times I needed to hear from the Lord, although I didn't always know I did. And your program spoke to me, convicted me, encouraged me, and blessed me. Thank you for loving the Lord and sharing His gift with me and the rest of your listening audience. God bless you and your staff kindly, Jody.
Well, thanks for your encouragement, Jody. And we'd like to send you Pastor Skip's God print book just for taking time to write us today. And if you'd like to write us sometime as well, our mailing address is P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199. So write to us today. You know, what we chase after in life can reveal a lot about our character, or lack thereof. We'll see some example of that today as we examine two men under one microscope.
And make the connection at the foot of the cross. And study the Word of God and find the way into His love. Make the connection.
Turn in your Bible once again to Genesis chapter 13. And as you do so, Skip Heitzig continues with our study.
This last year I moved up to the mountains and we were looking through our stuff. And I'm very pragmatic when it comes to stuff, especially other people's stuff. I throw it away. It's just clogging up the garage. Get rid of it. So I started getting rid of the stuff and I was reprimanded for it. Hey, what are you doing with that box? I'm throwing it away. Hey. That's my stuff. There's a stuff problem going on here. There's another problem. Did you notice it? Look at it. The Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelt in the land. Now, why is that in there? The author, Moses, is trying to show us a couple of things. Number one, he's showing us that not only did these guys have a hard time finding pastures, not only was there competition between them, but they had other competition as well. People who lived there first. But there's another reason I believe it's written here. To remind us that unbelievers are overhearing the quarrel. Unbelievers, the world is watching them. The world watches us. They listen, don't they? Very closely. In fact, it surprises us when they'll tell us something that they've noticed about us, and you're thinking, man, you have been paying close attention to how I work around here. Oh, yes, you are under the microscope. Well, years ago in Rome, in the Vatican, Michelangelo, that's the sculptor, Raphael, the great painter, were called upon to beautify the Vatican, and they worked hard to do it. They were hired by Rome to do it. They worked hard, they were famous, everybody knew they were doing it, but They were great craftsmen, but a rivalry broke out between Michelangelo and Raphael. So bad this rivalry got that they wouldn't even speak to each other when they passed each other in the hallway. And everybody knew it. The ironic thing is they're doing it all for the glory of God. And they're at odds with each other for the glory of God, as the world, all of Rome, all the prelates of the church were watching. How sad. Well, let's skip down to verse 8. We've seen their profile, their predicament. Let's see what they do. Let's look at their preference. Verse 8. So Abram said to Lot, thanks a lot. No, he didn't say that. He said, please let there be no strife between you and me, between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, I'll go to the right. Or if you go to the right, I'll go to the left. You know what? Abram's older and wiser. Abram wants to be a peacemaker, not a troublemaker. So he goes, you pick it, man. You can have anything you want. I'll just take whatever you don't want. Now, God promised him the land, but what a gracious thing to say. You see, what Abram is doing, his preference is different than Lot's, as you will see. His preference is to take the very way, Philippians 2, you know the verse as well, outline how we ought to treat other people. It says in those verses, Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but let each of you esteem others better than himself. Look not upon your own interests, but also upon the interests of others. This man's doing it. Okay, what did Lot choose? Verse 10. Lot lifted up his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan. We had already read that verse. That it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you go toward Zoar. Then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and we'll get to this as we close, he pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. But the men of Sodom, notice this footnote, were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. Okay, what did Lot pick? The Jordan Plain. Why? Because it looked good. I want you to notice that. It looked good to his eyes. Here is a man driven completely by his senses. He's doing what he thinks is the best for him based upon his outward observance. Notice the word saw. He lifted his eyes and saw. The word literally means he looked with longing. Doesn't that sound like somebody else we know about named Eve? Who in the garden there was that tree, and the Bible says she saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree desirable to make one wise, and so she took of its fruit and ate. Listen, the eyes will see what the heart loves. John called it the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You know, Paul said in the New Testament that as believers, we walk by faith and not by sight. Lot walked by sight rather than by faith. Now listen carefully. Lot made his choice based upon what looked best to him materially, not spiritually. Lot made his choice based upon what seemed best to him materially rather than spiritually. Oh, I want the Jordan Plain. There's nothing like it. It's best. It is the best. It's for me. I want the best. Move over, Abe. 1975, six gunmen looted a bank in London, stole $7 million worth of stuff. Part of the stuff was a little box of jewelry, $500,000 this jewelry box was worth. The woman who was victimized, had that box stolen, wailed when she heard about it. And she said, my whole life was in that box. Ooh, that's a sad statement. Your whole life is in that box? Because one day you'll be in another box And if all your life was in that box, that's a sad day at that other end. Now, here's Lot, and he would say, my whole life is toward Sodom. It's out in the plain. It looks so good, but it'll bite him, as we'll see. I want to ask you a question. How do you make your choices? What do you base your choices upon? What is the process you use for deciding things in life? Where you're going to go, what you're going to do, where you're going to live, etc. Do you place and make decisions materially above spiritually? I found this in a commentary, and I wanted to just, you know, kind of say it myself so it would sound like I was this wise, but I'm not. So I'm just going to read what Griffith Thomas wrote. He said, even professedly Christian people often choose their home in a locality simply for its scenery or society or its other material advantages without once inquiring what church privileges are there. The souls of their children may starve amid worldliness and polite indifference. Now, not Abram. Abram didn't walk by sight. Abram walked by faith in the promises of God. Lot says, I want the best of the land. Abram says, go for it. But God's about to give him something better. Himself, as well as the promises for his family in the future. I want you to listen to Hebrews 11. I've made reference all the way through this series. Hebrews 11 tells us, Abram lived in the land of promise, and by faith, he was confidently looking forward to a city with the eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. I have discovered that there is no geography in this earth that matters any wise to the will of God. It doesn't matter if you live here or there, because you are passing through. You are going toward a heavenly city. And the best deal isn't what you find down here. I got the best deal. The best deal is what's up ahead. Abram knew that. Well, let's look at the fourth comparison. Let's look at their provision. Their provision, what they got. Verse 11, you already read that. Lot chose for himself all the plain of the Jordan. That's because he lifted up his eyes and he saw it and he wanted it. But now look at verse 14. And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, lift up your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, westward. For all the land which you see, I give you and your descendants forever. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth. So that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants could be numbered. Arise, walk in the land through its length and its width, for I give it to you. Then Abram moved his tent and went and dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre, which are in Hebron, and built an altar there to the Lord. There's Lot. He looked up one day and he saw that plain of Jordan. He saw all that that could offer, all that the earth could offer him. But then there was the day when God said, hey, Abe, lift up your eyes and see what I have to offer you. Now, it says they separated from one another. And there's a good reason for that. There's a principle found in Amos chapter 3, verse 3. Can two walk together except they be agreed? And they weren't agreed. They were going in two different directions as far as the goal of their life was concerned. So they separated. And I would say this is good for Abram. Not good for Lot. I think Lot needed Abram. But as far as Abram was concerned, it was good. God told him a long time ago, leave your father's house. He didn't do that. He drug his feet. He brought Dad and Lot and everything else with him. He did go to the land of Canaan, but Lot is still with him. But now it's time to separate. And you watch his life now really start to blossom. God tells us to make separations, doesn't he? He tells us to make separations from worldly behavior, worldly lifestyle. 2 Corinthians 6, come out from among them, says the Lord, and be separate. Why is that? Why is that? Because, and you know this to be true, there are certain people who can drag you down spiritually and actually hinder your spiritual growth. you've been around some of them. You've been around some of them for a period of time, and at the end you feel exhausted and worn out and dragged down to a lower level. And certain people can diminish your spiritual appetite. Oh, they may profess to be Christians, but when you're around them, it seems like they have no real heart for spiritual things or spiritual growth or God or prayer. Rather, let's just have a whole evening of worldly behavior and we'll just sanitize it at the end with a little prayer. No heart at all for the things of God. No spiritual appetite. They're more interested in worldly things, worldly events, worldly activities. You get around them, they complain, they murmur, they gripe, they backbite, they gossip. You feel like you've had a weight around you all night. So they separated. Others, by the way, others you can be around and you feel at the end of your encounter with them, you have a stronger spiritual appetite, don't you? You want to grow. They've inspired you. Listen to this verse. It sums it up. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Run from anything that stimulates youthful lust. Follow anything that makes you want to do right. Pursue faith, love, and peace. Now listen, and enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. That's what Abram did. There was a separation. And God is going to bless this man. Well, Lot goes off, it would seem, into a place of blessing. But you see, where Lot was going, Abram didn't want to go. There are a series of steps. Let me just quickly outline them. And in studies to come, we'll probably get back to a couple of them. There's a series of steps downward for Lot. Step number one, he saw. He was driven by his senses. Verse 10. Step number 2, verse 11, he separated from this man of spiritual influence. Third mistake, he pitched his tent towards Sodom, verse 12. Oh, he's not in Sodom. That's the wicked city it talks about. But he's close enough to just sort of enjoy the amenities of the city. He pitched his tent. He's in that direction. He's a Christian living on the border, to put it in a modern New Testament vernacular. Step number 4, he dwelt in Sodom, and that's not here, but in chapter 14, verse 12, he's living there. He's living there. Now, if you were to stop and go, what are you doing? Don't you know the city stinks? It's sinful.
I can handle it, dude. I can handle it, man. Don't worry about me. Worry about what's going on in your own life, dude.
Right, he'd probably say something like that to you.
Don't judge me, man. I can handle it.
He probably would talk about all the advantages that that city had to offer. But the final step we read about in chapter 19, verse 1, it says, and Lot was sitting in the gate of the city. His last step downward, he became a politician. Now, I'm not saying that it's bad to become one. What I am saying is it's bad for Lot to become one in Sodom. Sitting at the gate was having a place of great notoriety and influence, and yet he never really influenced the city for good. It drug him down. You could look at Lot's life and sum it all up with just a couple of verses in Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, and then eventually sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And that was Abram's delight, the promises of God. So, two men, two lives, two different sets of values. One wanted an altar. The other wanted allurements. One wanted the altar of God. The other wanted the allurements of the world. One was driven by the promises of God. The other was driven by his senses. You could look at it this way. Lot got grass for his cows. Abram got grace for his kids. Oh, he didn't have any kids, but he will. God promises he'll have so many of them, he can't count them. Now, Lot made a choice, probably saying, this is the best choice for my family. He'll lose his family in the end because he didn't place God first. Abram just says, whatever, man. I'll let God choose for me. And God will give him a family so big, he won't know what to do with it. It's always better when you let God choose for you. See, those little choices, like those raindrops that fall on that that courthouse somewhere in the Midwest, those little choices can mean so much. I'm going to read this to you as we close. A comparison between two others. Max Jukes. Have you ever heard of Max Jukes? You're about to. And Jonathan Edwards. Most of you heard about him. Max Jukes lived in New York. He did not believe in Christ or in Christian training. He refused to take his children to church, even when they asked to go. He has had 1,026 descendants. 300 were sent to prison for an average term of 13 years. 190 were public prostitutes. 680 were admitted alcoholics. His family thus far has cost the government in excess of $420,000. They made no contribution to society. Jonathan Edwards lived in the same state of New York at the same time as Jukes. He loved the Lord and saw that his children were in church every Sunday, and he served the Lord to the best of his ability. He has had 929 descendants, and of these, 430 were ministers. 86 became university professors, 13 became university presidents, 75 authored good books, 7 were elected to the U.S. Congress, 1 became vice president of the United States. His family never cost the state 1 cent, but he contributed to the economy and the well-being of his country. Let's see, what should I choose? Jukes, Edwards. Lot, Abram. We're about to pray. Before we do, as I've looked at the text, 3 bold conclusions came out to my mind in terms of a warning. I'm going to caution you tonight to be careful of your vision. Be careful how you see stuff, things, how you look at life, not what you, how you view it. You see, Lot viewed just the world. He looked up and he saw stuff. Abram looked up and he kept looking up. He saw God. You might say that Lot looked down before he looked up. Abram looked up before he looked down. So be careful of your vision. Number 2, be careful of your values. Your values. Lot had a tent but no altar. Abram had a tent and an altar, and in his life, the tent was number one over, or the altar was number one over the tent. That was his priority, his value system. So be careful of your vision, your sight. Be careful of your values. And then be careful of your choices. Be careful. Treat each choice as a powerful individual thing. Because look what Lot chose and what Lot lost. Look what Abram chose and what he got.
Well, those are some good warnings to end our time with, and I hope you'll take time to examine your own life under the microscope in order to discover if your life is more like Abraham's or Lot's. They both had flaws, they both had failures, but only one of them left a lasting mark on life. So as we bring our time to a close today, we wanted to make sure that you knew about Skip's latest book.
When it comes to reading and studying the book of Revelation, here's the typical response.
Oh no, not the book of Revelation. You gotta stay out of that book. That's one of those closed books. That's for the theologians.
However, people often react that way to the final book of the Bible because they don't know what it's really about. So what is Revelation about?
It's not a bunch of analogies or a bunch of predictions of the future. Primarily, it is a singular revelation of a person, Jesus Christ. He's the center stage character in this book. He's the main subject.
If you want to know Jesus, you need to get to know him in the book of Revelation. Skip Heitzig wants to help you do that with his latest book, You Can Understand the Book of Revelation. Get your copy today for just $12 when you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org.
And when you contact us, you can also get a copy of today's teaching. You can pick one up for just $6 when you call us at 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org. We'd also love to get a letter from you. And who knows, perhaps what you share will not only encourage all of us here at The Connection, but our listeners as well. So if you'd like to share how God is working in your life or anything else that might be on your mind, please don't hesitate to write us at P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199. Or just email us at info@connectionradio.org.
And make the connection at the foot of the cross. And study the word of God and find the way into His love. Make the connection.
We'll continue to follow Abraham's life next time as we discover how his godliness shone through even in the midst of crisis. The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.